For decades, the patriots of Eastern Europe fought against communism. Despite the threat of imprisonment and near total censorship, they continued to speak out. They called themselves dissidents. Ultimately, they prevailed against tremendous odds. Now, at long last, American patriots are speaking out against the forces that are destroying this country. This program is the voice of those patriots. This is American Dissident Voices. Your host is Kevin Alfred Strong.
Thank you, Richard Cotton. Let us consider for a moment the Kurds, that nation without a nation in the Middle East. The status of the Kurds, who are currently the subjects and pawns of the Iraqis, the Turks, the Iranians, and others, is of vital interest to white people worldwide, and not for the reasons you might think. The Kurds speak an Indo-European language, and an examination of their physical features shows in an instant that they carry a significant percentage of European genes, though racial mixture has touched them, as it has most Caucasian peoples on the continent of Asia. What concerns me today is not their racial or linguistic heritage, however. What concerns me about the Kurds is the fact that they are a people without a country. They are culturally, linguistically, and physically distinct from neighboring peoples. They have their own language. They have an historic territory. And most important of all, they think of themselves as a separate and distinct people. In my view, they certainly deserve self-determination. They certainly deserve their own country. But the Kurds have no government of their own, and their homeland is ruled by overlapping multicultural states dominated by other peoples. In the part of Kurdistan owned by Turkey, they are essentially powerless against the Turks. In the part of Kurdistan owned by Iraq, they are under the thumb of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. In the part of Kurdistan lying within the borders of Iran, the Iranian state determines their destiny, and so on. Do you think the Kurdish people have much influence in the running of the multicultural societies they are forced to share? Do you imagine that Kurdish parents have much say in how their children are educated in Iranian schools? Is it likely that Kurdish points of view are fairly presented, or presented at all, in the Iraqi or Turkish media? Do these multicultural states put their armies and air forces at the disposal of the Kurds to protect Kurdish interests? Of course not. The military forces of several of these multicultural states are noted most recently for their attacks on Kurdish people who had the temerity to demand freedom and self-determination. In fact, our ally, Turkey, through which all U.S. aid to the Kurds must flow, has already leveled over 2,000 Kurdish villages in what is frankly termed a, quote, depopulation program, close quote. I should add parenthetically that the United States and its current criminal managers can take no credit for aiding the Kurds in their struggle. While our deluded warriors burn Iraqi civilians and soldiers into cinders with the transparent excuse that we are aiding the Kurds, the United States government continues to support and supply the Turkish forces who kill and oppress Kurds with impunity. What the slickster and his handlers are really doing is just two things. One, they are playing balance of power politics in the Middle East, changing targets from time to time, but always aiming our missiles and bombs at one Muslim state or another to keep them weak enough so that they pose no threat to God's race in Israel. And two, they are cynically exposing our soldiers to death and injury because The Jewish billionaires who own the United States media have made it popular and fashionable to kill Iraqis. And doing popular things gets you votes from the boobs. But back to the Kurds themselves. My point in bringing them up is this. When we look at the Kurds, we are looking at our own future. White people are the Kurds of the future. We are the Kurds of the future. In every white nation, and especially the United States, white people are suicidally giving up control of their homelands that their ancestors died to procure for them, and are agreeing to the insane concept of one biped, one vote, while simultaneously importing multiple millions of our natural enemies and inciting them into a frenzied hatred of us. In the United States, we have rejected the idea implicit in the Republic of the Founders, the idea that this government was set up to ensure the freedom and independence of a particular people, the people of European descent in North America and their posterity. In its place, we have accepted the Jewish idea that the purpose of this country is to amply supply the bellies, bank accounts, and sex urges of the greatest possible number of arguably human beings that can possibly squeeze in between the Rio Grande and the 49th parallel. Such a perversion of the idea of our nation may make a few of us richer temporarily. It may momentarily assuage the feelings of guilt inculcated in white people by the billionaire Jewish corporations of the media. It may appease the savages within our gates and buy a few more years of illusory peace. But nature is impossible to fool in the long run, and her laws cannot be broken. If you think that you can break nature's laws, you will soon find that they can and will break you. Nature defines nations not as legal fictions or geographic expressions, but as living biological entities, as extended families of people bound together by a common history, culture, destiny, and most important of all, by common descent and biological kinship. When the separate black nation on American soil was declared to be joined to the white American nation after the Jewish-inspired and communist-supported civil rights revolution, that declaration had no more effect on reality than the declaration of Charles Manson that he was Jesus Christ had on biblical scholarship. We continued to have two separate nations, black and white, to which have now been added countless other nations imported by our enemies, all living under the same government. A government which cannot serve the interests of either people, since by definition those interests will seldom be identical. Such a situation serves best that particular people, who always have been a tiny minority in whatever lands they have inhabited, and who, perhaps reflexively or instinctively, so often work to undermine homogeneity and labor assiduously to exchange rule by a vital majority for balance of power politics, easily influenced by a committed and wealthy minority group. What we have done is voluntarily submit our nation to rule by others. What we have done while we blabbered the mindless platitudes about fairness and equality that our enemies put in our mouths is voluntarily put ourselves in the same situation as the Kurds. We have become a people without a country. We have become a nation without a government of our own. We have become the Kurds of the future, a people whose destiny is in the hands of our deadliest enemies. That this is the truth is evidenced in a thousand different ways. We are legally forbidden to favor our own people in hiring or education or in the disbursement of tax money. We are forbidden, on pain of being fired and ostracized, of making public statements in support of the survival of white Americans, or in any way noting that white Americans are being oppressed or vilified, or in any way calling attention to the many ways in which the old white America was superior to the new, multiracial, feeding and breeding zone which has supplanted it. Do white Americans have any politicians in Washington explicitly standing up for their interests or concerns? How absurd. Of course not. All of the criminals currently belonging to the gang, calling itself the Congress of the United States, owe loyalty only to the multiracial system that pays them so handsomely, and would rather have a limb amputated than admit that they represent the interests of white people. Are white Americans able to control the education of their children, ensuring that our traditional values and our unique history and the stories of our heroes are transmitted to the next generation of our people? To even ask such a question is forbidden in the New World Order. Schools teach our children that diversity and cohabitation with non-whites are moral ideals, that communist enemies of white America, like Martin Luther King, are heroes, that not only is there no difference between the races, but that races do not exist. Furthermore, the establishment of schools for white children would be met with the most ferocious legal and media assault imaginable, and is for all practical purposes forbidden. Do white Americans control our media of entertainment and information? Except for the Internet, which our enemies do not yet control, all major media in America are dedicated apostles of our national disappearance and racial extinction. To pretend otherwise would be laughable if it were not also fatal. Who are the media preparing us to hate next after the Iraqis? White separatists in camouflage uniforms, carrying guns and criticizing Jews, are the new heavies in some primetime dramas. This is very revealing of exactly who is running the brainwashing transmitters, and it is a chilling reminder of who the cannon fodder may be asked to terminate next in their so-called surgical strikes. Are the military forces and police agencies of the United States at the disposal of white Americans for the advancement and protection of our people and our interests? What did these armed agencies do to protect the interests of white separatist Randy Weaver? What did these armed forces do when a few European nations had the temerity to stand up for the interests of the European race 60 years ago? What would our armed forces have done if Rhodesia and South Africa had stiffened their spines and fought back instead of surrendering to the New World Order? No. These armed forces are no more in our hands than the armed forces of Turkey and Iraq are in the hands of the Kurds. We are the Kurds of the future, and the future will be here before you know it. I recently received a letter from National Alliance member and ADV listener Brian Smith of Boise, Idaho. He enclosed a copy of his letter to General Mills in Minneapolis, which I would like to share with you. To the Board of Directors of General Mills, I have just received word that General Mills is going to change the face of Betty Crocker from that of a white woman to a mulatto. Well, sirs, Congratulations. You have just declared your involvement out in the open for all to see in the destruction of the white race. You are promoting mongrelization. You are promoting the genetic mixing of the races, which would thereby destroy the white race. Your company's complicity in this crime of all crimes is duly noted. I realize your company is merely being politically correct and attempting to protect its market share by appealing to a racially diverse consumership. General Mills' bottom line must remain paramount, right? Well, sirs, there will come a day, not so far off, when the collaborators in white genocide, which now officially include yourselves, will be brought to justice. It goes without saying that no punishment conceivable can pay for the harm committed by your actions and those of others in abetting the genocide of the white race. You well-suited, well-heeled men and women comprising General Mills' decision-making apparatus are a callous gang of commercial prostitutes and criminal degenerates, and my only hope is that your company goes into the septic tank where it belongs. Signed, Brian Smith. On the hate crime hoax front, we have a follow-up on a hate crime hoax reported on this program July 13th. The following item is from the Pensacola, Florida News Journal. Father and son get hefty sentence for staging hate crimes. Dateline, Miami. A Jewish father and son will pay for a staged hate crime against a Jewish school with prison time and 500 hours each of scouring graffiti. Al and Stephen Rubin arranged for two teenagers to vandalize school buses and spray paint swastikas around Hillel Community Day School last year. Stephen Rubin, the school's transportation director, directed repair business to his father, who owned Priority Car Care, who used the slogan, quote, "Where our customers and our honesty are the number one priority," close quote. The son also was accused of faking work for his father, including $79 oil changes billed at $4,000. Al Rubin, 47, was sentenced Monday to 3 years in prison, 5 years probation, and 500 hours of graffiti cleaning. His son, Stephen, 29, was sentenced to 8 years in prison, 5 years probation, 500 hours of graffiti removal, and to write a letter of apology. Quote, "While we as a country and a community struggle to fight against religious and racial hatred and bigotry and to protect our children from such narrow-mindedness, Al Rubin and Stephen Rubin opened old wounds," close quote, Dade County Circuit Judge Leslie Rothenberg said Monday. Surprised by the heavy sentence, Al Rubin turned to his wife and cried, quote, "Can you believe this? 3 years, 3 years," close quote. David Michael Brown, a mechanic who once worked for Al Rubin, testified he acted as the middleman, paying the vandals $50. Brown took the stand after being placed on probation for 3 years in a plea bargain. Stephen Rubin was found guilty of 9 counts of theft, 3 counts of burglary, 2 counts of criminal mischief and burglary conspiracy. Al Rubin was convicted of 9 counts of theft. Both turned down plea offers that would have spared them jail time. Stephen Rubin stated, quote, "I am not guilty of the crimes I'm charged for. Why would I go against my own people for $5,000, $10,000? I'm Jewish." Close quote. End of article. I think I'll let Stephen Rubin have the last word on that subject. Thank you. Nothing is more important than beginning your patriotic education program today. Let me give you some suggestions for beginning it. Depending upon your means and inclination, you may want one or several of these books, tapes, and other materials. I recommend that you get them all, and we will be making a special discount combination offer to encourage you to do just that. First, there is our huge 217-page coffee table size encyclopedic collection of all the best articles from our patriotic newspaper from over a 12-year period. It is entitled The Best of Attack and National Vanguard. If you want to understand the forces that are destroying this country, and if you want to discover the only way out of the mess we are in, this book will enlighten you as can no other. This book is an education in itself, and it is the best bargain in our patriotic book catalog. It's our radio offer number 4, and it is yours for $25. Next, I offer one of the greatest speeches ever recorded by a great patriot and scholar and a master of the orator's art, Dr. Revelo Pendleton Oliver, entitled, What We Owe Our Parasites. What We Owe Our Parasites will move you with its sweeping majesty, with its broad panorama of American history, and with its brilliant analysis of what it is about us which has made us such easy prey of our enemies. You will never see America in quite the same way again after hearing What We Owe Our Parasites. This tape is our radio offer number 7 and is yours for a gift of $12. Next, we offer you one of the greatest speeches of all time, Our Cause by Dr. William Pierce. This is a speech which transcends the merely political and plumbs the foundations of life on earth and the purpose of the existence of mankind in the universe. Dr. Pierce is chairman of the leading patriotic organization in America today, the National Alliance, and has been a guest many times on these microphones. Our Cause is his greatest and most profound speech. Hearing Our Cause is a life-changing experience. No understanding of the patriotic resistance is possible without the understandings presented in this moving discourse. Our Cause is available to you as our radio offer number 11 for a gift of $12. Finally, we offer the latest issue of our patriotic magazine, National Vanguard, which contains articles of current and vital interest on the unfolding plans of America's enemies to ensnare us in their so-called New World Order, and on many of the same issues we discuss here on American Dissident Voices. This we offer as our radio offer number 24 for $4. The total cost for these radio offers together, the book, Best of Attack and National Vanguard, the tape, What We Owe Our Parasites, the tape, Our Cause, and the latest issue of National Vanguard magazine, would normally be a minimum of $53. This week, however, to encourage you to educate yourself so that we can begin to take our people back from the precipice where we are now balanced, we are making this special combination offer. All the radio offers above are yours. The huge book of our past articles, the latest copy of our patriotic magazine, and 2 of the greatest patriotic speeches of all time. And all of these things, mind you, that you can't get in your local library or bookstore because of censorship. All are available to you who send a gift this week of $45 or more to keep this truth-telling program on the air. This is our radio offer number 2. I'm asking you to take this first educational step right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Just send $45 or more this week to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946. USA. And remember to ask for radio offer number 2. That's radio offer number 2, and overseas listeners can use international reply coupons or international postal money orders. Our announcers will repeat the address for you in a moment. Remember also to log on to our worldwide website of www.natvan.com. That's www.natvan.com, where hundreds of files, continuous transmission of this radio program, and an online version of our patriotic book catalog are all available. Until next time, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
You've been listening to American Dissident Voices,
a beacon of truth for patriotic Americans and for patriots of our Western civilization around the world.
American Dissident Voices depends upon the voluntary support of its listeners to stay on the air.
Please send the largest gift you can afford today.
Send $1 for a book and tape catalog listing over 300 titles that the controlled media don't want you to see.
Our overseas listeners can substitute 2 international reply coupons for the $1. For a gift of $12 or more, you can receive a high fidelity cassette recording of today's program.
Please give us the call letters of this station, the subject of the program, and today's date.
Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
And until the next broadcast, this is Richard Cotton reminding you, as always, freedom is not free, free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America.